The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Welcome to White Rabbit Podcast with Catalyst Jones, where your reality might be challenged. So leave your feelings at the fucking door and let's dive down some rabbit holes.
Liberal advisory. Truthful content.
Welcome. Conspiracy junkies, in a world where independent thought has become a rarity, and the majority seem entrapped in a programmed existence, corporate entities led by shadow elites have become hungry for control. We are living in a time where genuine truths are often met with ridicule and dismissed as outlandish conspiracy theories. Those who dare to challenge their malevolent agenda are systematically silenced. However, amidst this pervasive mass delusion, there emerges a courageous figure who is willing to stake his life to defy these reptilian overlords and unveil the concealed realities. That individual is Catalyst Jones. So fasten your seatbelts as we embark on a journey that will take us through the rabbit holes of hidden truths and uncomfortable discoveries. I give you the White Rabbit Podcast.
Welcome, fellow truthers and conspiracy junkies, to another episode of White Rabbit. I am your host, Catalyst Jones, and I'm back for another episode. You know, you guys know that I took a little bit of a break and been kind of rearranging things over here on White Rabbit. So I would like to formally announce that Sean Chris has left the show. And not because of any bad blood or anything like that. He's got a lot of things that he's changing up over there over at Kill the Mockingbirds. And I'm really excited to see what he's doing. He's got a couple projects in the works, not with just himself. And so since I've been taking a break and rearranging the show, we thought it would be the best time for him to focus on his thing. And that's what we're going to be doing now. So with that being said, I got a whole bunch of new sponsors. We got a whole new way that we're going to start doing this show. And so, yeah, that being said, welcome back, conspiracy junkies. And one of our first shows back, we have one of my favorite fucking people. This guy is amazing. I think I first heard him on Tinfoil Hat and he just intrigued me. If I'm not mistaken, they were talking about the Black Mobility or something like that. It could have been maybe Black Cube, something to do with blackness. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, Ron from New England, the host of the Wicked Planet podcast. Welcome, brother. How are you?
I'm good, Catalyst. Thanks for having me on after your little hiatus there. So, yeah, when I was on Tinfoil Hat, we were talking about a lot of that stuff in the Khazarian Empire.
Yes, I love talking about that kind of stuff. I believe that the first time I was going to have you on, we were going to talk about all the families that run everything, and then you and I hit it off and we just ended up talking about dreams instead.
We kind of got off a topic on that show, but it ended up being pretty good. And you know, just on a side note, you know, Sean Chris is a great guy.
Yes,
and I really like him a lot. I've been on Kill the Mockingbirds when Joel was still there, and a few times, and hope to be doing some stuff with Sean coming up. And so I wish him well. You know, he's going to do good no matter what he does anyways. I mean, I like him. Like I said, really great guy.
Yes, and very creative. You know, when doors close, he finds a very creative way to open new ones, you know. And like when Joel and him decided to not do the show together anymore, and he brought in Raven as an AI co-host, I was like, dude, that is genius right now. In the world of AI, that is like nobody's done that yet. And it was just the way he incorporates things and the way how brilliant his mind is. I cannot wait to see what he's going to be doing here pretty soon.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you said that because, you know, I listen to Alex Jones once in a while. And of course, he just did a show recently, I think in the last few days, where his guest was ChatGPT or whatever it is. And he kept just asking AI questions. And it was really interesting. And it just dawned on me, like with what Chris is doing is, what Sean is doing is, you know, if you ever had to do a show and you wanted to do a show alone or whatever, how hard would it be to have an AI co-host? I think it's a great idea. I mean, with AI the way it is now, I mean, it's still kind of in its infancy, so to speak, but it's getting better really fast. So that's really cool. I wouldn't be against giving it a try once in a while myself. It might be kind of interesting even to do a show where you just ask AI questions about conspiracies. That's basically what Alex Jones was just doing. And then just have the conversation kind of go from wherever at that point. But no, that's interesting.
You know, Ron, now that AI has gotten a little better, I would say it was maybe 2 years ago, I attempted to do an episode where I had Tupac as my guest. And I told AI that it was Tupac living in this day and age and to reply all my questions with answers as if it were. And the first like 3 minutes was pretty dope. It was on point. The way he was talking was pretty close. And then it just went to shit. And it was like, oh, I can't answer that. Or Tupac is dead. And I'm like, no, fucker, you're Tupac. Like, you know, like,
yeah, it took him a while to figure it out, right?
Yeah, so I wasn't able to put out that episode, but I think the idea was great, and we might be getting to the point where we could actually do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's coming for sure. And I mean, I think it's, a lot of people say using AI is a cheap out or it's a cop out or whatever. I disagree. I think that people need to embrace AI, I mean, carefully, obviously. But, I use it for a few things here at the shop, believe it or not. And, you know, for diagnosing really like problem child cars that have really unique problems, it works out pretty good. But I've been messing around with a 11 Labs, it's called. Is that what it's called? And the different voices. And now the technology is getting to where, you know, somebody can, if you can train it to speak in a certain cadence, like how I speak, for instance, you know, people are always giving me a hard time about my accent and the way that I talk or whatever. But if you know, that's the whole big problem with AI is, you know, just like on all the TikTok videos you watch and you could tell it's, you know, it's AI and it's just boring because it's just no resonance or nothing. It just is plain old flat, just saying words. And that to me, that's no fun. But if you could get AI to actually sound like a person, that could get interesting. And then there's the problem with the deep fakes, but you know, it is what it is. It's a learning process for all of us, right? But I think it warrants looking into.
Definitely. I think it's a good tool to have in the tool belt, and not to fear as something that's going to completely take over, but as somebody that is a graphic designer and video producer and stuff like that, I see it as another tool that I can use, like to incorporate with my things. And I have been, and it's great, you know, like, with, the intro that I just played, that was AI incorporated with my editing skills. And, you know, I had Sam Elliott talking.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, it's good.
And what you can do now is you just load in 6 minutes of the person you want, and you just, download recordings, or upload, I should say, recordings of them speaking, rapping, talking, singing, whatever it is. And AI learns their cadence, like what you were just saying. And so then you just type out what you want it to say, and then it does it.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. So a funny thing, like you had just brought up too, like some doors close and then opens up other doors, right? So, you know, a lot of people have been asking me, you know, where Buckley went. You know, on the show. I mean, I know you and I talked about it a little bit before the show, but I think a lot of people are under the impression that I pushed him out. I didn't. He left on his own and just abruptly. So, but that, you know, it's kind of like a door closing on Wicked Planet. You know, I mean, we did 3 years of episodes together And but now, I mean, the show's going in a different direction, and that's a prime example of when doors close, other doors open, right? So, I mean, you know, like your friend Sean, you know, it's the same idea. But yeah, you know, that's something I kind of got to clear the air on Wicked Planet about, because I get a lot of messages. Oh, where's Buckley? Oh, I like the show with Buckley and this and that. Like, hey, dude, Buckley's gone. Buckley's gone. So it's time for a new beginning, you know, and that's what I've been doing. And, you know, I don't know how many people that listen to your show, listen to Wicked Planet. I'm thinking probably a few. And, but the last five or six episodes have been pretty banger. And pretty good.
I'd have to say, Ron, they have been good. And it was probably because, you know, there's been times where Bucky Lee isn't on. So it's not like he's been on every single episode. So right. I didn't think it to be weird him not being on, especially since the first couple had anonymous Sean. And it's usually kind of typical for Buckley not to be there when anonymous Sean's on there, because Buckley kind of what is it called when you're not haggling, but when you're a comedian and somebody's down there
heckling.
Yes. Yeah. He kind of heckles, anonymous Sean when it's not time to be being heckled.
Yeah. And
I remember there was a show that I had actually reached out to you about, and that's what asked me to have him on my show. I was like, yeah, he kept getting interrupted during times I really wanted to hear what he had to say. Is there any way we could get him on? So I'm not saying Buckley was bad, but like in a sense, like when you want to have those really important conversations, like it's good. You can do that now without having to worry about how Buckley's going to react or whatnot. But he did definitely add a lot to the show as far as the comedic relief and just the sarcasm, because a lot of us can get with that kind of sarcasm that he has. I know I do.
Oh yeah, no, I agree 100%. But sometimes if you want to do a serious subject, and I mean, and Buckley's a smart guy. There's no doubt about that. He can, you know, he can bring, you know, information. But if you were talking about a subject that he 100% would disagree with, like when Sean would talk about scripture or anything along those lines, it was just constant pushback. You know what I mean? But Sean never had a problem doing shows with Buckley. I mean, they got into a pretty good argument on the air one night, which I thought was kind of funny. But the reason why Sean and I would do shows separately is because Sean was available on times where Buckley wasn't. So, you know, Sean would come in on the weekend, or Sean would come in on an off night, because, you know, Buckley was able to get away on Wednesday night. And that's why we selected Wednesday night, because that seemed to work better for everybody, right? But now I record all kinds of, like, sometimes I'll put out three episodes in a 10-day period, you know, and it just depends on what I got going on. I had a bunch of shows in reserve that I finally took the time, because I've been really busy. Summer's really busy for me. And as you know, editing and getting a show ready to put out, and imagine it's just audio, right? So if it was visual, it would be twice as long or three times as long to even prep a show to put it out, right? But because we don't do our shows live, not yet. So anyways, yeah. So, you know, it is what it is, you know. So the show, I mean, I'm not going to stop doing the show. I mean, I'm going to morph the show, you know, and do that. But I think when you put out some shows and you have a little bit more serious content, you're going to attract a more serious guest, just in my opinion. I mean, I've had some pretty serious guests on in the last month or so, you know. And if you reach out to somebody and then they check out your show and then they hear, you know, oh, these guys are drinking and they're doing whatever, and oh my God, that was kind of off color. You know, and I mean, that's what a lot of Wicked Planet listeners liked, was the off color stuff. But I mean, in order to grow the show, I mean, when you get to a certain point, you just kind of plateau out. I mean, and the show is always done good. We've always had, you know, really good download numbers, you know, listener numbers. But I mean, when you take a little bit more of a serious angle and you want to have people come on to talk deeper, even into some of the subjects that you used to hit on, you know, more in depth, they're going to take you, I think, a little bit more seriously when they go back and listen to like the last, you know, five or six or even seven episodes. Definitely. And they'll be more apt to come on, right? Because they don't want to waste their time. They don't want to go on every single podcast that asks them to come on, right?
Right. So I do want to get into some of the stuff that's going on right now with you. But before I do that, you were talking about all the stuff that it takes doing a podcast. And right now, not only White Rabbit, but I'm doing Art of Revolution. And I'm not really on the podcast. I am occasionally, but I'm the guy behind the scenes. And this guy wants to put out a show every single day. It's video, it's live. And after it's live, he wants me to take it down and do edits to it. So I'm like executive producer, promo manager, guest booker, graphic designer, everything for not only that show, but for White Rabbit as well, on top of working a full-time 10-hour day job.
T-shirts and accessories, truth in every piece. Step into the story, claim your cosmic peace. CharismaTruthStore.com. Speaker of the truth, so calm. Promo code KJones10. Get your gear again and again.
So yeah, I understand. It takes a lot going into the show, and when people say, "Oh, you're just doing it for whatever this," or like, we put way more into this than we ever get out of it. So I think that if you're truly passionate about it, it's because you're passionate about what it is you're speaking on or the movement that you're involved with, you know? So yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody that puts in the hard work so that we could get all this cool shit that we get to listen to throughout our day.
Yeah. So, I think people get it though, Catalyst. I think people understand, you know, that it takes a lot to put out a show, even if it's only an hour show or a 2 hour show. You know what I mean? I mean, a lot of podcasts usually stick to about an hour. Well, that's about 6 or 7 hours of the work that you got to do to even put that out, right? So, and I mean, we all have lives. I mean, I have a family, I have a business, I have things going on. you know, so, but I enjoy doing it. And like you say, if you're passionate about something, well, you make the time to do it and you put it out there. And that's why sometimes when you get a review or you get somebody saying something freaking stupid and it's like, buddy, you don't have to listen to the show. If you had any idea what it took to actually put a show together, you would probably survive one or two episodes. You know what I'm saying? And here right. we are. I mean, I'm not sure how many episodes you have. I'm over 200 now. And just do the math. No, that's a lot of hours. And on Wicked Planet, like, I'm still not getting paid to do any of it. I mean, I do have some good guests that will send me a few bucks on Venmo. We super appreciate that. You know, I've been holding off trying to do anything that has ads. I did switch over to Red Circle recently, which I think allows for a lot of cross promotion and things we're going to be doing with some other shows, and we can talk about that. But I mean, eventually it's either going to have to go, you know, an unedited form of it. It will have to go on a Patreon or a Substack, which people can subscribe to, or you're just going to have to listen to a few ads. I mean, nobody likes ads. I don't like ads, but you know, you can fast forward it because you have to understand, the listeners need to understand that this costs money to do. And even if we are passionate about it, it's still a little nice to get a little return on your investment.
Yeah. So I have ads on my show, but it's only ads that I do myself. Like I've produced and created myself for my sponsors. I don't have ads that just abruptly interrupt your show in the middle of it. You know, like my boys, Loving to Death, Cult of Conspiracies, Jonathan and Jacob over there, they try to do 2.5 to 3 hour shows so that they can get more ad placements, but they're not working anymore. The podcast is paying for them to live. So that's pretty fucking awesome. So Ron, what the hell has been tickling your fancy lately? Because I know that in this huge auditorium, there's all kinds of different theaters that we go into, and you're like me and you like to look behind the curtain of each theater to see, you know, who's putting on the production. So seems to be a lot of productions playing right now at the same time. Which one has got your attention right now?
Well, I got to say it's more than one thing. You know, I mean, you know, anybody that listens to me, I'm really, and a lot of people are like, oh, politics is a waste of time. And yeah, I understand their standpoint. But what I like to look into is the conspiracies based around the elections, right? So now we're coming up in a hot election season. I have my buddy Rick Smith that likes to come on with me as kind of a temporary co-host or recurring guest or whatever you want to say. And we talk about some of the current events with that and just the craziness and how it's going to get crazier between now and November. And who knows what's going to happen after November, right? That's just really super interesting subject for me to just ponder, you know, ponder the what ifs. But, you know, I've always been a big, Buckley used to call him Samasquatch. I've always been a big Sasquatch Bigfoot guy, you know, and it's just something I can't get away from it. And Sean and I had, and we can't really get into it, but Sean and I stumbled on, like just by accident, some really, really intriguing information. So we're kind of, and it's tied into biblical scripture, funny enough, you know, Sean's idea. And so him and I have been working on that. So you know, be listening or be waiting to listen to some really interesting shows, Sasquatch based and not the, oh, I was in the woods and I was hunting and I saw Sasquatch. No, nothing like that. We're going to be getting into the genetics of it. And we're going to be getting into some really deep, some deep subjects along those lines, DNA, Sasquatch DNA. And yeah, we just happened onto this information like by accident. And it just happened to fit right into Sean's narrative.
That's fucking so awesome, man. Do you think, you think we can jump into Bigfoot here for a little bit?
Yeah, we can. Sure.
All right. Awesome. So, you know, one of my mom's arguments is always, well, it's been a long time now. Everybody has a camera in their back pocket and still we're not seeing any new video or photos that are credible. And You know, I'm to the point where I'm thinking that maybe Bigfoot runs off of some sort of frequency and is able to disrupt phones and technology. Is that something that you give any credence to?
Yeah, I do, Catalyst, 100%, and I'll tell you why. You can't discount the literal tens of thousands of encounters worldwide, maybe even hundreds of thousands of encounters worldwide, you know, over the years. Even going back to like 1500s, 1600s in North America, right? And, but now that we're in the kind of the technology age and people have game cams and, you know, when they set those up a lot and even Ring cameras, for instance, you know, there's been some, you know, half-assed video of, on Ring cameras of Sasquatch or purported to be Sasquatch. And one recurring thing that keeps coming up is that Sasquatch, for however, you know, whoever knows how, can detect infrared. And infrared is the part of the game cam which allows you to have night vision, right? So he's able to sense it as so he stays away from it. I mean that's one thing. Now, do I think that they can mess with frequency and technology? I mean, how could we rule that out? Like, I don't think we can rule that out.
Right.
I think it's a strong possibility.
Right. There could be senses. Well, not could be. There's definitely senses that we're not aware of because we don't have the right biology to be able to feel, see, or whatever it is, these things. And who's to say that these cryptids could or couldn't be emitting some sort of a frequency that does disrupt our technology? You know, it seems to be, maybe it's just because we have internet now, but there's a lot more people talking about cryptids here recently than a long time. But we are also having a lot of people talk about end times here, biblical times. And, you know, a lot of my research, it kind of coincides with Anonymous Sean's stuff. That's why I'm always intrigued to hear what he has to say. And I think that these cryptids are of the angels that took human wives for themselves and had Nephilim. And then Nephilim, you know, polluted their bloodlines into probably most of us today. And I'm thinking that these cryptids are just more deeper rooted in their bloodlines and probably been alive for hundreds of years here and are capable of, you know, being able to not be detected when they don't want to be. What do you think about that?
Well, I think whatever Sasquatch is has been around for pre-human, honestly. and I agree with you. And Sean, if he was here, he would agree with you as far as the infiltration of the what we consider Sasquatch bloodline to go back to biblical times, even with examples of Cain versus Abel. You know, it's Sean believes that Cain had basically that type of DNA. Because he was different than Abel, even though they were twins. And then you have the story of Esau and Jacob, which Esau came out furry. in the Bible, this described as being covered like a goat. Well, Sean interprets that a little bit differently.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. And I mean, that's a little bit of what we've been working on, actually.
Nice.
With the DNA information that we're becoming privy to, which, was discovered by this female doctor. And when she presented this information, she was 100% shunned, blackballed, canceled, whatever you want to call it, from academia. And I mean, this lady was a professor or probably still is. And so, I mean, Sean likes to talk a lot about the beast of the field and the beast of the fields. Like what were they? You know, people can logically say, oh, yeah, you know, like, you know, oxen or horses or snakes or whatever could all be grouped into one thing of beast of the field. But I think the beast of the field that interacted with early humans or whatever, you know, God created man in his own image, you know, with Adam. And then, you know, Eve was tempted by, you know, everybody assumes the snake in the Garden of Eden. And Sean doesn't believe that at all. He's got a whole different viewpoint on that. And that's kind of some of the stuff we're going to get into. And I believe that the Sasquatch entity has been around for that, like predates the Bible. Like that's how long this type of entity, and it's probably evolved. Look at how humans have evolved. Right.
Well, so I don't know would make, we have, but
yeah, and it would make sense. And it would make sense that they would have maybe some types of powers that humans don't have. You know, we all hear the stories about Sasquatch and the use of infrasound and how he can, you know, basically communicate with a human without even talking, you know, with infrasound. And then people say it just goes right through them.
Right.
You know, I would equate it to, used to be big into drag racing, going to the drag races. I was never involved with it, but, and they would have the jet cars. We would have a thing at our local drag strip. It was called jet cars under the stars. And I'll tell you what, when a jet car went by, that went right through you.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, as close as what infrasound you can get, you know what I mean? To describe what it actually feels like. But I mean, we can't rule out that Sasquatch has that ability. Yeah, we just simply cannot rule it out. I mean, are there people out there that probably know the answers to every question that any of us that are interested in this subject have? Yeah, there probably is. I mean, just like anything else that's suppressed, they're not going to give you that information.
Right.
But I think it's a flesh and bone thing, but it's not of this world. I guess I don't want to say it's not of this world, but it's not of this actual dimension
realm. Yeah. No, because there's a video footage. This lady was in a hunting perch and up in a tree, and she has video footage of a Sasquatch that was actually transparent. So it put on like a cloaking device, almost at like the Predator movies. And then, you know, I wouldn't put it past it I often think sometimes maybe that Bigfoot is just its natural form, and it's a shapeshifter, and it's able to go into whatever it wants to. And when it wants to feel comfortable, it goes into its Bigfoot form because that's its natural form. Possibly. These are just speculative things that I throw around. And another speculative thing I throw around is something that you touched on is, you know, Eve getting tempted by the snake. And well, you know, I think that Satan is able to shapeshift into anything he wants. And I'm sure he would have given himself a huge python. So in a sense, she probably was tempted by the snake. And oh,
good point.
And we know that there's been multiple times where women have been reported. It's been documented where they've been impregnated and given twins to two separate fathers. So it is possible that Cain and Abel, Cain being of descent from Satan and Abel being of descent from Adam, you know, and when she sinned and then Adam came back to the garden, she showed him the fruit and then, you know, same day. So she could have been impregnated by both of them in the same day.
Well, we know that can happen in the animal world. It happens with cats, happens with dogs.
Right.
I mean, it's nothing to say. I mean, there's actually cases that it has happened in humans. I mean, it's the same way, like, you know, the different types of twins. You have a twin who, Anonymous Sean is actually a twin. You know, I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
His twin didn't make it to childbirth, but. So if the mom has one egg and it gets impregnated by the dad and then that egg divides, well, then that's where you have identical twins. But if the mom has two eggs and they could possibly be impregnated by two separate people. I mean, I know it's hard to wrap your head around that, but it is genetically possible.
It's been documented. So it has happened.
Yeah. 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 And you're right on the money on there, because that's kind of the road Sean and I are going to head down.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. And I think that, also the beast of the fields could be a lot of the cryptids that we're seeing today, but I believe that a lot of the cryptids we're seeing today are due to the fact that, these Nephilim have, that they've been able to hide for so long. And now everybody does have a camera in their back phone or their back pocket. So we're starting to see more and more of these things, and end times are coming. So they're making themselves more and more known because they don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah. 100% agreement in there. Again, something Sean and I have contemplated many times, and we're going to be getting into that. And listen, that story with the female bow hunter that saw the predator like creature.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with that story. That's a legit encounter. That is a 100% legit encounter. You ever wonder, like, let me just tell you something. Like, you know, like Sasquatch can be perceptive on a different level, just like cats and dogs are. We recently, of course, you know, one of my dogs, Opie, had passed away back in April. Awful, still heartbroken over that. But my wife and I, we had rescued two pups. And not siblings, they were from different locations or whatever. And I have this one, I call him my little guy, because he doesn't seem to want to grow. His DNA says he's going to be about 40 pounds when he's full grown, and he ain't even 15 now or even 20. But this dog is so perceptive. When I walk him out at night, it's hard to get him to even do his thing, because we'll go out behind my house. Now, I have a lot of surveillance lights, but, you know, motion lights in my yard. I have a pretty big yard. And it backs up to the forest. And we have, I mean, I had a bear on my camera like 2 weeks ago. Excuse me, right in my front yard. And we have another video of the same bear, like thinking he wanted to get into the pool on a hot night, you know. But anyways, I'll be out back and the lights will come on. And this little dog, his name is Ash. I call him my little ash hole. he just looks off into the woods and he puts his front paw up like he's a pointer almost. And he just looks out into the woods and then he's very, very quietly growls. I'm like, what do you see, bud? What do you see? And then he'll snap right around and he'll walk behind me. And then I'll take him to another, like the front yard is really big too. I'll go out to the front yard. He does the same freaking thing. And the other night he was looking down the driveway, and my driveway kind of curves because I own two pieces of property. So you come in on one property to get to my house. So it's a pretty long driveway. And I'm looking down this driveway. Honest to God, I can see movement. I can see something moving. I don't know what it is. And it's almost like you can see through it. But he saw it and he walked behind me. He actually got between my legs, you know, because I'm standing, and he just sat right there and he just kept looking, and he did not take his vision off of it. He was hyper-focused on it. And I'm looking and looking. Now over there, I have no lights. It's kind of dark. I swear to God, I could see something moving over there. And it's just something that he is way more perceptive. Like look at cats. Look at the crazy shit that cats do. They'll be looking at something in your house, and it's like, okay, what are you looking at? Because I don't see anything. You know, who's to say, you know, if those just domesticated animals have those abilities, who's to say what Sasquatch has for abilities?
Right, these ancient things that have been around forever. Yeah, you know, it's crazy. You bring up bears. We have a bear that gets into my trash every once in a while. And the other night my dog was growling at the foot of my bed. And I was like, I'm looking outside. I don't see anything. And I go outside and where we have the trash, Ron, is so far away from my bedroom. I don't know how in the fuck she heard this. Cause I live in a mansion. And so like, it's fucking far away from where the garbage is, but she knew that bear was out there getting into the trash.
Yeah. Well, because they can smell them. That's the big thing with the dog. Like in the winter time, or not really in the winter, but because not in the summer, because my bedroom is closed up because I have my AC running. But in the spring and in the fall, when the AC is out and the windows are open and just the screens are shut, my old pit bull Willow, she will just come unglued. Like just out of the blue, could be 1-2 o'clock in the morning. She'll just come unglued, barking, growling, just snarling. And then all of a sudden the outside lights come on. So they know when something's around for sure. I mean, it's nothing for us to have wildlife in our yard. We got, bobcats. We got a whole family of deer that have been hanging out near my property for generations. We have the bear. We have the bear. This particular bear is a yearling, but I've seen his dad. His dad's probably the biggest black bear I've ever seen. We have coyotes. We have packs of coyotes out in the woods, you know, and I mean, you can hear them yipping and yapping every night too. So animals are very perceptive to that. But this little guy, Ash, he sees something that I can't see.
Yeah, definitely. It's in him, you know. Ron, I used to watch this show on Netflix called Meat Eater. And I heard this guy on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he's a hunter, fisherman, just an outdoorsy guy. And he has a show, a documentary show where he...
The Meat Eater podcast guys. I know who you mean. Yeah.
Right. So there was this one episode where they were hunting bear, and this bear was on this hill. I mean, this hill was so far away from him. You could barely see the bear through the telescope or the binoculars that they were showing. And this bear lifts its head up because it got a whiff of them. It must have been 400 yards away, if not further. Got a whiff of them and was able and ran away. So if a bear can do that, then Sasquatch can most definitely fucking do that. And that is why sightings are so few, far, and in between.
Yeah.
I'm thinking. What's your take on other cryptids? Do you think they're all pretty legit, or do you think that people are just making shit up to get attention?
Well, I don't know, because a lot of people that see cryptids, they don't want attention. So, I mean, there was a, you know, a small fraction of people I would say would do something for attention, but who would want to draw attention to something like that? Right. I mean, cryptids, if you see, have a legit cryptid encounter, like, dude, you're questioning reality at that point, right? You're questioning everything at that point, because it's like, okay, this thing is not supposed to exist. Hence the term cryptozoology, right? So, I think some cryptid encounters are people seeing things in their brain, interpreting it as something different when it could be, you know, say 10 cryptid encounters could all, you know, six of those might be the actual same critter, you know, and then people will say, oh no, it looked more like this. Just like, you know, like the big thing now, like, on Sasquatch Chronicles, or even Tony with Confessionals, you know, they're big on the dogman thing, right? And I think, and the only reason I agree with this is because Sean had somebody leave his house one night that had a dogman encounter in our town. And it happened to be in the same neck of the woods where Sean and I believe there are a small pod of Sasquatch there. And everybody just kind of rolls their eyes and thinks I'm being freaking cuckoo or whatever. And again, I don't talk to too many people about it, like locally, because nobody's going to believe you and they're going to think you're freaking crazy.
See, it's usually the locals that have seen it as well. So they're, you know, like you go into the local store and people will have stories and shit. But
well, there's people that live on this same road that have had encounters and sightings. So we think it's pretty legit, right? But getting back to it, so people see Dogman and they're thinking, oh, that's Sasquatch. But wait a minute, it's just a little bit different. It could be the same thing with like people that see Chupacabra. I mean, you know, that whole you know, Mexican, Southern United States, South America cryptid that, you know, people like to make fun of a lot, you know, and then people will come out and say, oh, it's just a dogwood mange, or it's this, or it's that. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't really fit the description. Now you get some old Mexican granny that tells the story. I mean, these people are simple people. Like they live simple lives. They don't even have a concept of what social media is or even anything like that. They don't want attention drawn to them. And they will just give a complete half an hour long like story of their encounter. I mean, you can't discount that.
No. And you know, there are people out there that will do it for the attention, narcissists or whatever, but with the amount of people that are coming out, you can't discredit every single one of them, you know, maybe just a small percentage of them you can discredit, I would say. You know, there's a lot of people talking that the CERN particle collider might be a reason we're seeing an uptick in cryptid sightings. Do you think that might have a play in anything, or is the CERN thing just a bunch of bullshit?
Yeah, you know, CERN gets a lot of attention, like, for sure. I mean, you know, ever since they discovered the God particle, you know, and then, of course, people will take CERN, and then how many conspiracy theories have been propagated from that?
Mandela effect, for sure.
Yeah, Mandela effect, alternate timelines. We all died in 2012. They lit CERN off during the last eclipse, and now we're on a different timeline. I mean, it's all very interesting to listen to. I mean, I'll give you that, but you know, Mandela effect, though, that's something, and again, you know, not to backtrack, but Mandela effect is something that I'm a firm believer in. I really am, because I remember things differently, like, for sure.
Yeah, well, 100% that lady was able to prove the cornucopia in the Fruit of the Loom logo. So
yeah,
it was driving her nuts. Like, yeah, she went nuts, and she was able, through FISA reports, was able to get shit. And then people came out with shirts that actually had it on there and everything, which, I mean, I worked.
I 100% remember the cornucopia.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
I do too. Everybody does. I mean, even in the commercials, I think there was one dressed up as someone dressed up in a cornucopia outfit running around with the other fruit.
Yeah, yeah, like the Berenstain Bears ones. I don't know anything about that. I wasn't familiar with them when I was a kid.
I was huge into the Berenstain Bears. I had a subscription, so they would come every month or week or whatever it was. But Sean, Chris, and I had talked about this in one of our episodes, and he had brought up the point that the Berenstain Bears company was bankrupt at one point and continued to put out books, and in order to keep doing that, changed it from Berenstain to Berenstain. So both do exist. And there's an actual good excuse why.
Yeah. Well, see, there you go. There's one that's debunked, but another one that I remember is how they spelled Oscar Mayer hot dogs, right? Like they would sing the ditty and spell the words, right? I mean, that's another one, that I can remember it the other way, for sure. The whole Nelson Mandela, which the Mandela effect is named after, I don't ever remember him dying in his funeral. I don't remember none of that, because I was pretty into learning about Nelson Mandela back in the day, believe it or not. And I just always remembered he was released from prison, and then bingo bango, he's president of South Africa. You know, I don't remember that. But there's some instances of the Mandela effect that I think are pretty legit, right? So, but CERN, I mean, an awful lot of money's been spent there, and I mean, a lot of people don't realize there's literally hundreds and hundreds of particle colliders in the world.
Yes.
I mean, they're building, I think, a really big one. Is it in Tennessee?
We have a bunch here in the United States. I know that. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're planning on building a really big one to rival CERN in the United States.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. But what is interesting about CERN is where it's located. There was something to do, and I can't remember exactly right now. Now that we're talking about it, but there's something to do with the property that that's located on. And it's actually encompasses two countries, right? It's in part of France, I think, and Switzerland, I believe. But anyways, yeah. And they plan on building a bigger one, right? They're going to be building a bigger CERN. One of the good things that came from CERN was proton email. I'm a big advocate for that.
Proton mail.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What about the ritual that they had before they fired that baby up? That was clearly a pagan, satanic ritual.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I mean, same thing with the Olympics, right? But yeah, so CERN has definitely got a lot of mysteries attached to it.
Right.
Hence the reason why you can draw so many conspiracy theories out of it. I mean, it's a super interesting subject. I love looking and reading about CERN.
Have you ever seen that interview that Sally Field did with, I want to say she was like on Sally Jesse Raphael show way back in the day, and she was talking about her brother, who's a scientist who works at CERN?
No, I don't remember anything about that.
Yeah, she said that she was talking about the God particle and all of that stuff back in the 90s, I want to say.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because I don't think they discovered the God particle until recently, right? I mean,
that's what their whole thing was trying to discover it, which is why it was created, is what Sally Field is talking about. You know, I have that somewhere on an old hard drive somewhere. I'll see if I can find that and send it to you. It's a pretty interesting interview.
Don't you find it interesting that a lot of these Hollywood people and musicians all have family members that are part of either some intelligence thing or some hidden scientist or whatever? I mean, that's something a lot of people don't correlate that.
That's the kind of stuff that gets my rocks off, bro. That's what gets me going. I love those rabbit holes. And you know who's really good at those ones, and she breaks them down really well, is Julia, the Cosmic Peach. Mm-hmm. And she, she does this whole like 3-4 episode on Laurel Canyon. And just the ties with CIA and occults and Tavistock. Hollywood.
Yeah.
And snuff films and Satanism. And, oh my God, it is just a conspiracy theorist wet dream. It's like Bohemian Grove on fucking acid.
Yeah. You know, what's really going to be interesting. We won't like jump into politics, but just this one thing, Trump had just recently announced that if he's elected, he's going to release all the Epstein files.
Oh, good.
So Jim Breuer, the comedian, just did a ex post where he was saying that when that happens, if that ever happens, it's going to blow the minds of so many people because it's going to tie all that stuff in with Laurel Canyon, the drug, the counterculture, Tavistock Institute, MK Ultra. Buddy, that's all tied in. It's all part of one big rabbit hole. It's crazy. It's going to change reality for a lot of people if that happens. And this could be the reason why they fight so hard to keep Trump from being elected, because all these freakazoids are going to get exposed, and they know they're going to get exposed. But then again, who's going to believe it? Like that's the one thing, the cognitive dissonance, right? Like we talk about stuff on our shows and have been since the beginning of COVID, right? And you can talk and talk and talk. And you obviously, you know, our listeners could be considered to be an echo chamber, right? So, but you could explain these things 100 times on 100 episodes in a row and give them, lay it all out on a silver platter, right? Like give them all the information. Like you're always asking on my posts, where's the source? Because you're too fucking lazy to go find it yourself. So here. While you're at it, here's the source. Go check this shit out for yourself. Use discernment. Figure it out for yourself. Believe what you want to believe. And they still won't believe it.
Oh, yeah. And you know, my favorite thing is, too, is when they're like, when they ask about the source and they're like, where'd you get that? A TikTok video or something like that. It makes me wonder, like back in the day when they were, you know, when they were switching from stone tablets to paper, did they go, where'd you read that? A book?
Yeah. you know what?
We get our information now doesn't, you know, there's a lot of lies in books too. So you still need to use discernment in whatever way that you're digesting your information. And, you know, where did you get that? Doesn't really matter where I got that from. The fact is I took the time to figure something out because I don't just go with the flow and you know, accept everything as in which it's presented. You know, I know that there's something different to everything.
Yeah. So in TikTok's defense, some of the things that you see on TikTok or Instagram or X or even Facebook, I don't mess around with Facebook's a freaking joke. But anyway, you might get that little spark, right? You get that little spark from a TikTok video and you're like, oh my God, I've never heard of this before. And what's cool about TikTok is if you click on the comments, it'll give you like a baseline title up top. And again, down the rabbit hole we go, right? So you have this one initial TikTok that might say something that's either you've never heard of before, or maybe you did, you forgot about, or maybe is a little bit more in depth, more so than what you've already heard. So it's like a jumping off point, right? Like it's the little piece of branch that covers up that rabbit hole. So you move that branch out of the way. That's the TikTok video is the branch. You move that out of the way and exposes the rabbit hole.
Yes.
Then you jump down that rabbit hole and wherever that labyrinth takes you, right? I mean, that could take you in so many different directions. That's why, you know, it's almost like, and a lot of people theorize this and it actually makes a lot of sense, that some of these conspiracy theories will be propagated from some three-letter agency, like CIA, say, for instance, or, you know, whoever ran MK Ultra.
That was CIA.
To keep us busy. Like, let's give them this. It'll keep them busy, and it'll keep, if they're, as Andy from DeepShare would say, hyper-fixated on this particular subject, they're going to stay hyper-fixated on this subject. And while they're busy doing that or talking about it on their shows or their YouTube or whatever, we can actually be over here doing this. Like, right?
Yeah.
Watch the left hand so the right hand can do what's really going on. And a lot of times, like you have to pick and choose your conspiracy that you're going to dive down that rabbit hole, right? And then when you think, when you take that mindset that, man, did they just propagate this out of nowhere to keep us busy? It was like them pushing the Russia hoax. I end up pushing that again, right? Now Tim Pool's under investigation, or this podcast is under investigation, or these people are under investigation because of Russian collusion. So now, even if it is total BS, people are taking the time to look into it, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, that's why, you know, even on my show, I love talking about conspiracies, but sometimes I like to talk about something a little bit different, take a break from conspiracy, because sometimes you wonder how much of your time that you're invested in looking into these subjects is just a waste of time, and that you're basically doing what the CIA wants you to do. Like, go look at this. Don't worry about what we're doing over here. Just go look at that. You know, and I think CERN is one of those, honestly.
Yeah. You know, yeah. MK Ultra is a great example too. You know, I like where you're going with that. Like, we did some nefarious shit here. You know, people want to know about some nefarious shit. We have no use for this nefarious shit anymore because we moved on to bigger and better things. So we'll let them know about MK Ultra. Well, now we're over here working what we learned from MK Ultra on massive mind control. So fuck all that noise over there. Go ahead and give them that.
50 steps ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
for sure. I just interviewed this guy, the censorship, right? So, you know, how we're getting our information, and you know, Sam Tripley's one of those guys that says the internet got away from them. And I really agree with that. And an example of that would be, I just interviewed this guy in the UK who's on the run right now, for what he does on the internet, on his, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, TikTok, whatever channels, where he is going around to all these hotels where they have all these soldiers, well, illegal immigrants, and they're building these armies, and they're saying it's private property and you're trespassing whenever he tries to walk up to these hotels, and he's asking them, you know, why do you have illegal people here? They're trespassing. Like, they're trespassing in our country. And you know, and so his buddy got arrested. He fled, and now he's just going from country to country out there and doing what he's doing and exposing these things. I'm actually going to be interviewing him again here when I get off with you today again. So I'm trying to get as many interviews with him as I can before they catch up to him and arrest him.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we're actually going to be putting together a gifts and go for him and try to get him out here to the United States, so he doesn't have to worry about being persecuted for freedom of speech, because what he's doing is the same thing that you and I are doing, Ron, but he just lives in a country that has gone completely fucking haywire.
Yeah, the UK is completely unhinged right now. I mean, look at this, showing up at granny's houses and arresting him from Facebook posts, right? I mean, okay, this censorship thing and this coddling these... and I had Michael Yon on recently. He said, don't call them migrants. Don't call them illegal aliens. They're invaders. They are invading us. In these housing places, those are barracks, right? That's what I consider. Those are barracks, right? And I mean, that's a whole other thing that we could really at some point get into. I mean, I've done multiple shows on it and I plan to do more. Because look at what's going on in Aurora, Colorado. I mean, you know, you got these Venezuelan gangs that are taking over complete complexes. I mean, that's a legit story. That's not a conspiracy theory. And the fact that nobody's doing anything about it.
It's not a legit story because they're not running it on the news. It's not a legit story, just like an assassination attempt on Donald Trump is not a legit. It's one of those stories that's huge that they should not be not talking about, but they try to brush it under the rug. And, you know, I've been saying since December of last year that all these people that are coming in here are just getting ready and they're waiting. They're building armies and they're waiting to get their marching orders and they're going to turn on American people. And everybody's like, "Nah, you're crazy. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen." Well, that's exactly what we just seen happen in Colorado. And it's just the first of many. So,
yeah. So, you know, the one thing everybody says, you know, what's going to happen, we're going to have a lot of UN troops here. And then people come back with this snarky, you know, remark, "Oh, well, blue helmets make good targets." Buddy, this is the army. They're already here.
Yes.
They're not wearing their blue helmets, but they're already here. You know, somebody is funding them. They're coming now, yeah, not all of them, but
our taxes are.
Right, but somebody else is funding them. NGOs are funding them. Rich people like possibly George Soros are funding them.
For sure.
They come across, they cross the border, and they're opening up brand new iPhones, which are a grand a piece, right? And they already got their service turned on.
Right.
And they have preloaded debit cards with like up to $5,000 or $10,000 on their debit cards.
Right. And they're told to go to the DMV and get a driver's license. And what happens when you go to the DMV and you get a driver's license? Oh, you register to vote.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the big problem. You know, that's the whole thing, like with the voter ID thing, is like you can see 100 examples of things in the United States that you're required to have an ID for, but you're not required to have an ID for voting. Like in my state, New Hampshire, you do. We have voter ID here. I don't understand what's so hard about it. Well, what's hard about it is that they can't give people IDs to vote illegally because they're not legal to vote. That's the only reason why they want to get rid of the voter ID law. I mean, it's so simple. They can say it's racist. They can say, you know, that black people are disadvantaged when it comes to voting. Dude, it's not reality. It's not truth.
Like, you need an ID for almost everything.
So I'll tell you what, in our local online newspaper, they have reports almost weekly of people that the state police arrest at DMV trying to get driver's licenses with bogus paperwork.
Well, that's good.
So that shit don't fly here in New Hampshire.
Right.
Like, I mean, not to the degree that it does anywhere else.
And, you know, I lived in California. When I went to go vote Newsom out, when he got recalled, they asked me for my ID. So that was good. I did live in a conservative neighborhood, though. But, you know, last weekend was Labor Day and I wanted to go fishing. And so I went over to the Big Five store, sporting goods store, and I went to get a day fishing license just for the day, a day pass. And I have an expired ID in my wallet that I just keep forgetting to throw in. Anyways, I went and I gave him that ID instead of my one that's current. Not because they look exactly the same. And he was like, "Oh, I can't take this. It's expired." And I was like, "Oh shit, do I even?" And it was left at the house. I couldn't even get a fishing pass without an ID. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even get a fishing pass. And that doesn't affect the country if I catch a fish or not.
Catalyst, I'm going to be 61 years old in December. I couldn't buy a pack of cigarettes at the store the other day that I had stopped at, not my typical store, unless I let them scan my ID.
Right. So how in the fuck are black people buying Hennessy and Newports without an ID? Now that was racist.
The point is black people don't have a problem voting. They don't have a problem with computers. They don't have a problem getting an ID. And you can ask any of them, and they'll all tell you the same thing.
Yep.
It's something that the Democrats have made up so that they can bring in these aliens or the invaders and vote for them, because they're going to vote for the, nobody's going to bite the hand that feeds them, right?
Right.
So they're going to vote for the people that give them all this money. Right. But it's pure and simple. But apart from the politic side of it, we're hearing reports out here in Colorado where, you know, Catalyst, do you remember hearing the reports of just strange shipping containers just showing up places?
Yes.
And these shipping containers are full of weapons, heavy duty military hardware. Well, there's some reports that there are some shipping containers located not far from these apartment complexes in Aurora. I mean, just the fact that these guys, there's videos of them running around with like M4s and, you know, automatic firearms.
Yes.
And
do you know how hard it is to get a gun?
The cops can't use that video as probable cause to investigate it.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like when I lived in California, it was damn near impossible to get a gun the legal way. And if you wanted to get a gun through the black market way, you were going to pay a ridiculous amount of money for it. I think I was looking at a 9mm that was a generic brand, and they wanted like $1,100 for it. I was like, get the fuck out of here with that. I can go to Nevada and get it for less than $4.
See, we don't have that here in New Hampshire. You can buy, I mean, you can't buy fully automatic weapons in New Hampshire if you don't have the proper license for it. But if you have the proper license, you can buy a machine gun here.
Yeah.
I mean, New Hampshire has very cool laws like that.
Nevada has really laxed gun laws as well. I was really happy to see my roommate walk into the gun store and buy something and walk out with it without having to sit there for hours.
Yeah. The background checks here are immediate.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're immediate for handguns even.
But I'm just saying so in some states that doesn't fly because it is easier to get guns than it is in other states, but it's not very easy to get a gun if you don't have, you know, the proper forms that you need. And these people have like high powered fucking military weapons. And
yeah, but they didn't Catalyst. I don't mean to interrupt you, but they didn't bring that shit across the border with them.
No, it was here for them waiting.
Here for them. That's my point.
Right.
That shit's here. That shit's already here. And they have access to it. So when everything's going to get ready to pop off, which I predict will be in the next probably month and a half.
Right.
You know, things are going to get real sketchy. Right.
Do you think we're going to have an election?
I've been saying right along that. No, I don't. I think the odds are more in favor of not having an election than they are of having an election.
Man, that sucks. And
I've been saying that for the last year.
I think the odds are more in favor of having an election, but it would make sense that we wouldn't have one, as we're having Donald Trump run for president, who's actually exposing everything. They're willing to do whatever they can.
They're already doing it.
Right.
They're already doing what they can.
They're not going to go down without a fight. So they
never let a tragedy go to waste. I posted that on X multiple times in the last few days since this last school shooting. As soon as this school shooting happened, Harris was in New Hampshire having a rally. Do you know that they had to bus people in from Massachusetts to go to her rally? True story. It's documented. The videos are there. All these buses came up out of Boston, right, to go to her rally. Like, Southern New Hampshire's got a lot of liberals because it's basically Northern Mass. But New Hampshire's more red state than people want to admit, right? But during her rally, during her speech, she called out again for gun control in the United States, assault weapons bans, and all this. And it was all based on this recent school shooting, which either happened that morning or the day before. Now, let me ask you a question. Trump had an attempted assassination attempt. I'm just saying. Somebody tried to take Trump out. Whether you think it was contrived or not, there's a lot of us that believe that it's kind of sketchy.
Right.
So I kind of agree with you there. But point is, Somebody tried to take out a former president and the front runner for the Republican Party in the upcoming election. Not one Democrat came out and used that as an excuse to call for an assault weapons ban, a gun grab, or anything. Not one. Not one said anything about that. But these kids get killed in this school. They can't talk about it fast enough. Shouldn't that in itself be a flag to go up in somebody's head?
I mean, it should, but at this point, Ron, whenever there is one of these events that take place, I know it's just an orchestrated event to push for gun grabs.
Mm. Well, I think that is going to be, I actually think that that's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back as far as this country goes. Excuse me. Is the gun grab, because it's never going to happen in the United States. It is 100% not going to happen. There is more guns in the United States than there are people. It's not possible. It's not even physically possible for them to round up all the guns. It's just, it can't happen. It'd be impossible.
Yeah. And not only that, but they only know about documented guns, and there's a shit ton that aren't.
Guns don't have to be documented in the state of New Hampshire.
Exactly. So they're only going to be able to grab the ones that they know about, and not even all of those ones.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be really interesting to see where it goes. I mean, I've said right along, we're in false flag season. You know, it's going to keep happening. You know, you got all this division that's being sowed in the country. You know, I mean, it all started with George Floyd, that whole incident there where they burnt Minneapolis down, which happens to be the same state that Tim Walz, the vice president, the person that's been, you know, appointed or selected to be vice president for Kamala Harris. Yeah, that's where he's from. He let all that shit happen. And, you know, and it's just going to continue to happen.
Right.
You know, it's going to be one, you know, a cop's going to shoot somebody that, you know, probably shouldn't have shot or whatever. It's going to be blown out of proportion. You know, things are going to start popping off. I just have a feeling. I just really do. And you know, you got these Venezuelan gangs that are bad actors, but dude, we've had MS-13 here forever. Right. I mean, MS-13 is just as bad as those guys from Venezuela.
Right.
But the fact that they've left the southern border open to let all these people in. And if you want to listen to a couple of, and I'm just going to do a shameless plug here. You want to listen to a couple of really good episodes from Wicked Planet that I did recently. Listen to the one with JJ Carroll and listen to the one with Michael Yon, and just take away from it whatever you think you can, because those guys have laid it out, like, for sure. Nice. We're going to be in trouble. We're in trouble. We're kind of isolated up here.
I don't know if we're in trouble, Ron. I think we're starting to see on a small scale what is going to happen when this shit starts to take place. So, you know, this is the first instance that it's not going to be the last, but, you know, this takeover of the apartment complex, it caught the attention of MCs, and these MCs are banding together and going over there to handle business.
Well, a lot of that's bullshit, too.
Is it?
So if you're talking about motorcycle clubs, yeah.
Hey there, pet parents. If you're like me, your furry family members mean the world to you. And that's why I'm excited to introduce to you PurePetWellness.com, your trusted source for all things CBD for pets. What sets PurePetWellness.com apart? Well, for starters, they're an American-owned family business with genuine love for animals. They understand the unique bond you share with your pets, and they've dedicated to helping your furry companions live their best lives. And I'm pretty sure that the owner's a flat earther. You can't go wrong with that. That's pretty dope, right? So if you're looking for natural solutions, Pure Pet Wellness is where your journey stops, because they have a premium CBD product specially crafted for your pets. Calming tensioners to soothing balms, they've got you covered. And conspiracy junkies get 20% off at checkout. Just hit rabbit at checkout and watch the prices. Drop.
Yeah, motorcycle.
So somebody had posted that the Hells Angels were going to head over there. It's not happening,
dude. Well, that's not Hells Angels for sure, because I watched the videos and none of them were patched up.
Yeah. Well, there might be, you know, and here's another example. You know, there's a lot of people that talk tough on the internet, but when it comes down to brass tacks, what are you doing about it? Because those apartment complexes should be laid siege to. They should be surrounded, power cut off, water cut off, food cut off, communications cut off, cell phones jammed. Just wait it out. Right?
Yeah, seriously.
Why isn't this happening?
Yeah, why do they have water and power and every, like, that should have been, you know, if Trump was president, they wouldn't have water or power, and they would have been, actually, it wouldn't have happened in the first place. But
it's siege warfare 101. Even I know that, right? It happened when Salah Adin took over Jerusalem, right? So, I mean, it can be done again. Siege warfare works.
Yeah.
But why aren't these militias getting together? Put your differences aside. We're fighting for a united cause here.
Well, we're going to have to see them come together. You know, I just found out that there's a shit ton of militias around in this area where I live that keep pretty quiet about what they do. So I'm hoping, I know here in this house, we're protected. We have food to last a long time, and we have what we need to protect it. So we're good for a while. Yeah, I just worry about the people that are actually in the cities, like deep part of this. They're going to be fucked.
You notice this is only happening in heavily blue areas, right? Like, this doesn't happen in red states.
No.
This stuff doesn't happen in red states. You know, I saw a video earlier on X where this Muslim guy was getting on a couple of white people's cases over there in England. And he basically said, well, you think this is your country? It's not. It's ours now. And I had posted, I said, well, I think the outcome would have been a little bit different in some places in the United States. And somebody chimed in and said, oh, I doubt it with your woke vice president, this and that. I said, that's why I said some parts of the United States.
Yeah.
You pull that shit in Kentucky, you pull that shit in New Hampshire or Maine, you pull that stuff in, you know, West Virginia, Georgia. I mean, you're probably going to have a problem on your hands.
75% right? of the country, I would say. You know, Sam Tripley has a joke that says, if you get on a train from California to New York, how many states do you pass before you see a transgender?
Right.
And, you know, there are so few far in between, unless you're going into these heavily populated Democratic areas. You know, like Nevada is so red. So red everywhere you go. And then you go into Reno and it's its own little liberal world where if, you know, people are offended if you wear a red hat, it doesn't even have to say Make America Great Again. They just.
Yeah, no, I actually talked about that on a recent podcast when I was wearing a red hat back when Trump was first elected at a Mexican restaurant. Anyways, we don't have to get into it again, but yeah, just wearing a red hat, you know, for people that can't speak English, is just going to assume it's a Make America Great Again hat, right? But yeah, you know, hopefully if things start happening, there will be a response, you know, and a definite response, not a judicial response. I mean, I'm not calling for anarchy. I'm not calling for vigilantism, but I think you'll find that's what's going to solve it. I really do. Yeah,
I agree with you. It's really just going to take it's going to take someone to throw the first rock is what it is. Somebody's got to be brave enough to stand their ground and be successful in doing so. You know, maybe Kyle Rittenhouse wasn't the hero that we needed or the time that we needed it to be, but it's going to take something of that nature.
Yeah, he didn't do anything wrong as far as I'm concerned. Those people that he took out, they needed to go anyway. I'm pretty absolute in my thoughts on things like that.
Yeah, same.
You know, in New Hampshire, we have a thing called Castle Doctrine, and that's a pretty good thing to have looked at. Your listeners can look up Castle Doctrine.
What's the good thoughts on that?
Castle Doctrine means if you're in your if you feeling threatened anywheres near your residence, or even in your car is considered part of Castle Doctrine. Then you can use deadly force to protect you, yourself, or your family that's in the car. So, or in your house, right? Like the big joke used to be here, the cops would always say, well, if you shoot an intruder, you know, make sure you shoot him inside the house, or if you shoot them out on the porch, drag them into the house.
Right.
I think Castle Doctrine changed that. I think they're fair game to shoot in your front yard. I mean, if somebody's in your front yard and they're taking pot shots at your house, then they're fair game. If somebody comes into my yard and they got a gun drawn, they're fair game. I don't care where they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I agree. Yeah. So what do you think about not just here in the United States, but we got turmoil popping up everywhere. Whether it's planned that way or it's happening regularly, I don't know, but I tend to think that a lot of the higher ups, the parasitic elites, know that something is about to change. And I think that they are all maybe fighting for the top spot. And it's not just one person in control and every chess piece is laid perfectly. I think that there's some infighting happening amongst the parasitic elites. And that's why we're seeing so much turmoil right now. Do you think that it is a possibility? Well, it is a possibility, but do you think we are going to see a legitimate world war pop off?
Well, I think we're already in a world war. It's just not conventional. Right. I mean, a lot of arguments can be made for that. Like right now. I mean, look what's going on all over the world.
Well, I guess my question would, because I believe we've been at America has been at war ever since the last elections. But do you think that we're going to see conventional war? Do you think there's going to be boots on the ground, shots fired, World War III, like all most countries involved type of thing?
I don't think globally. I mean, even if you look at the last two world wars, I mean, they called them world wars, but essentially they weren't actually, because they were regional wars, right? But they just encompassed a lot of properties around the world, so they called it world war. I mean, there's a lot of countries that aren't buying into any of this bullshit, right? I mean, there's a lot of them, but they're being forced into war. Look at Russia and Ukraine, right? I mean, see what's going on there. Look at what's going on between North Korea and South Korea. You know, North Korea, they're unhinged. They could pop off at any time. Same thing with China and Taiwan, right? It's the same idea. But I think we're more apt to see something on American soil, not in a conventional war kind of sense, but I think if these invaders that have come in, if some of the conspiracy theories are true, which we are finding now that a lot of them in the last 4 years have come true, or even the last 40 years, really, for that matter, you're gonna be seeing some form of warfare in the United States, in the cities. You're probably not going to see it in rural areas, because I think these people, these invaders, know they want to stay away from rural areas, right? Because they want to concentrate their actions in cities and heavily populated areas. But I think what we're going to start seeing, you're going to start seeing more mass shootings. I think you're going to see terrorist attacks in cities, you know, high value targets, movie theaters, malls. You know, if we get past the election, you know, you got the holidays coming up, you know, this stuff is all going to be fair game, and they're going to be able to label it as it's a lone wolf that did this. You know, they're not going to talk about, you know, the network that's out there or the cells that are out there that are working together. They're going to sacrifice one or two of them to throw people's eyes off of the fact that it's a like orchestrated like events that they're planning or that they are going to do. Right. So they're going to say, oh, it's just this one unhinged person. Like you can see what they're doing in other countries like Ireland and UK. Right. You know, in the island of Britain itself, you know, in France, it's the same idea. Oh, this lone man, or in Germany, this lone man came up and knifed somebody. You know, when they're out there, they're trying to knife four or five people at a time, right? And these people are not like indigenous people to those areas, right? They're not even citizens. They all came from Africa or wherever they came from, right? And these people have no respect, and they're not going to these countries to assimilate. You know, they say, oh, we're coming here for jobs, or we're coming here for a better way of life. No, you're not. It's not why you're coming here. Like maybe a small fraction of them are doing that to come here. But yeah, you're going to start seeing stuff happen. You know, they're pushing for civil war in the United States. They have been for a long time. And I think that's exactly what the left wants. I think they want chaos in the streets, because it'll give them a reason to initiate martial law. Martial law suspends elections.
For sure. I mean, look at the two movies that the Obamas put out under Netflix that deal with just that. That is exactly what they want. And if you, I know you do, but people listening, if you know anything about predictive programming, that's exactly what the fuck is happening with those movies. Is they're letting you know that this is what is to come. Ron, why do you think that these parasitic elite puppet masters like to control us through chaos. I mean, wouldn't we be just as easily controlled through peace and harmony?
I don't know, because for in order for us to achieve peace and harmony, we would be able to, we would have to be in a position to not be held prisoner by an elite class. You follow what I'm saying? Meaning we would have to be out of debt slavery. We'd have to be out of the system that forces us to indoctrinate our kids in the Rockefeller education system. Right. We would have to all be living in small utopian societies to achieve that. And if they get rid of the central bank system in the United States, that's the only way we could even remotely head towards peace. Right. And tranquility. You know, I mean, I don't really know what it's going to take, but if you look at the parasitic elite, what is their number one tool that they use to control us all?
Fear.
Money.
Oh, well, that too.
Well, the lack of money creates fear. So yeah, fear is the right answer. But if they can keep us in debt, then they can keep us in control.
Which they right? do very well. I mean,
they do very well. Yeah. I mean, if you know how the central bank system works or how the Federal Reserve works, it needs to go away. I mean, it's not federal and they have no reserves. If they need money, they print more. And then they print money and then they loan it to the U.S. government at interest and they loan it to banks at interest. And then the banks turn around and loan it to us. They triple it. Right. So if we didn't have that type of debt based society, I think people would be a lot better off. Yeah. I mean, look at how the world was before the Federal Reserve even came into being. You know, we didn't have income tax. We didn't have usury. We didn't have any of that.
Right. And people right. were free to invent things and they didn't have to worry about being killed if they invented something that helped humanity that, you know, fucks.
Well, they don't want that.
Yeah. That fucks with their oil money, right? Like the guy that made the car that runs on water was all excited about it. And then he ended up Clintoned.
Okay. So they talk about technology, right? Like a lot of people, very smart people will come out and say that technology right now on some levels has plateaued, right? So it's plateaued because people that come up with a really good idea, if it goes against the hegemony that the parasitic elite have, then they're either going to buy that patent, they're going to steal that patent, they're going to do whatever it takes to get that patent, and they're going to shelf it. So they don't want people. Perfect example: the guy that had the motor that ran on water. Right. You know, and there's more than one example of that too. That can be done, or the guy that invented a carburetor that gave the conventional combustion engine car like 100 miles per gallon, like with gasoline. Right? Can't have that. Right? Because you're not buying enough oil. So this is where they come up with the whole idea that oil is finite. Right? Which it isn't. It's infinite.
Right. It replenishes itself too.
It replenishes itself.
People have abandoned oil fields, come back a couple years later, and they're completely full again.
Yeah. Yeah. But they had to have an artificial scarcity. Again, back to Rockefeller.
Right.
So if it's scarce, we can charge you a lot of money for it. Listen, when I was a kid pumping gas, it was 28 cents a gallon.
Well, that all happened at the Geneva Convention where Rockefeller paid a bunch of scientists to call it fossil fuels so that he could promote that it was scarce. Oil has nothing to do with fossils in any way, shape, or form. I mean, fossils petrify or they turn into dust. That's what happens.
Yeah. Well, they don't turn into crude oil. I can tell you that.
There must have been a shit ton of stegosauruses walking around this bitch because we've been using gasoline for a good minute.
100 years,
you know, with all these cars.
So gasoline was a byproduct to begin with. They had to find a reason to use it.
Yes. And then when they refined it, you know, the whole thing, the whole power over us begins with oil in the first place. And the reason why the Federal Reserve was even created, you know, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds teamed up because they were basically like Coke and Pepsi. And they were like, hey, we can actually do a lot of damage if we join forces. So,
yeah, you know, we could talk about Rockefeller for like hours and hours and hours.
Well, let's schedule something and do that one of these days, because that's always a topic that I like to talk about. You know, who are these parasitic elite and why? So that's always something good. But we are coming up on an hour and a half here. I got stuff to do, and I know you do as well. Ron, man, it's always good talking to you, and I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come and, you know, talk to my little humble show here over at White Rabbit. And always a good time, man. So is there anything like weighing on your chest before we get out of here and I let you plug away? Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you wanted to let the conspiracy junkies know about?
Well, you know, all I'm going to do is listen to Wicked Planet once in a while. And I wouldn't say your show's very humble. You're doing very well with your show. You and I have done a few things together over the years. Always liked you. Good guy. I like your content. And it just takes all of us working together. You know, let's just touch on something real quick. These fucking rifts inside this podcasting community, that shit needs to go away. And I don't understand how it gets sparked or who gets butthurt over what. But, you know, we all need to understand that we're kind of in this game together. It's not really a competition thing. Like, we're all supposed to be here to enlighten the masses that typically wouldn't get enlightened, right? So just a little message to if other podcasters are listening to this show. Stop with the infighting, right? Just stop. Get over whatever your differences are and understand that we're all in this game. We're all in this fight together. That's the number one thing I've seen. It's like coming to a head. I'm not involved in any of these rifts, but I see them out there. I definitely see them out there. Some friends of mine have, you know, kind of fall victim, but they've had to, you know, feel the brunt of, you know, when one podcast gets pissed off at another podcast and then they start talking shit about each other. Come on. It's not productive.
Not at all. No,
it's not productive at all.
I got drug into one of those like two years ago, and it, after I bounced back from it and realized, you know, like, dude, this is not productive. It's not productive for either side of the fight. You know, I don't know who it is that you're talking about right now, because the second I hear shit like that, I just tune out because I don't need to know. I fuck with people based on the fact of, are they a good person or are they not? And that's what I go by. I don't go by, oh, this person did that, this person did this. I go on my own personal thing. And so I don't know about the fighting right now, but no, that does suck. And I've been victim to it before, and it doesn't hurt. It doesn't help anyone. It's not like rappers when they beef and they end up selling more records. It's not the same kind of thing.
Well, I think people, they have different ideas. Different shows have different ideas, and it's okay to disagree with other shows. I mean, I do shows with people I don't agree with 100%. But, you know, I have this, I kind of revamped my intro a little bit, and each clip that I put in my intro has a meaning. I didn't just randomly pick those clips, right? But I picked one, and it's the one from, Something About Mary, and where Matt Dillon says, nobody's going to tell me who I'm going to work with. And I put that in there for a reason, because, you know, just because I will do shows with a particular podcaster and I'll do shows with another particular podcaster, and those two podcasters don't like each other, dude, has nothing to do with me.
Oh yeah. No,
you know what I'm saying, right? But that has happened. That has happened. And I'm like, listen, nobody's going to fucking tell me who I'm going to work with, and who I'm not going to work with. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to work with whoever I want to. If I like you, it doesn't matter to me if you have a riff with somebody else. I don't fucking care. That's your problem. Like, I'm way past that. Like, if you want to have a problem with another podcaster because of that, then that just shows your pettiness, dude. Fucking go on your own. I don't care. It doesn't affect me.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not naming names. I'm just giving an example.
Right. No, I fuck with a lot of podcasters that other people don't like and don't fuck with. And, you know, there are a handful of them out there that I don't particularly like. And a lot of my podcasting friends and family do stuff with them, and that's on them, you know. Yeah. You know, my buddy Ghost is so cool when it comes to shit like that, because there's people that he doesn't like because of the people he messes with. And, you know, I fuck with people that he doesn't like, and he's still my best friend. He doesn't give a shit, you know.
Oh, I love Ghost. Ghost is funny. Yeah. 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 just get him away from his soundboard during a show.
Oh, I know. You know, when I first got my Rodecaster, I was so bad. Now I'll go like 2 months and I'll be like, I haven't hit a button throughout the entire show for 2 months.
Well, Ghost is funny because, it, you know, if he's into the sauce a little bit before the show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it makes the show funny, like for sure. I enjoy doing shows with Ghost. I used to love when he did the tavern. And but anyways, yeah. So, I mean, that shit's going on. And I just, my message to people is, you know, just put that shit aside.
Definitely.
Like we're all in this game together. We're trying to open people's eyes, and we can do it collectively. We don't have to be infighting. It just doesn't make it. I mean, I'm not infighting with anybody, but I'm just saying I see that shit is going on out there. But anyways, yeah. So Catalyst, thank you for having me on. I always enjoy coming on with you. We'll get together. I know we wanted to talk about it, but we'll get together and talk about Salem witch trials.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do that before Halloween. I would do that.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So I would like to say, if you guys are around on 9/11, Sean, Chris, myself, and Tommy Prophet from the Art of Revolution will all be doing a 9/11 show on 9/11. And we're going to be talking about Building 6 in particular and some other things that people don't usually talk about. So that should be fun. Be sure to tune into that. And it's locked in. It's happening. You guys remember the girl on the airplane?
I don't give two fucks, but I am telling you right now, that motherfucker back there is not real.
Well, she is very real. I've been talking to her, man, I would say ever since Christmas time. And she sent me 2 pairs of Jordans now. And because she's a sneakerhead, and anyways, and she's going to be coming on the show. So you guys, we're going to be talking about whatever it is that she did or did not see, and how that has changed her life and where she's at right now. So that should be a fun show.
Yeah, and that's going to be a good one. So she's a pretty cool chick, anyways, right? So, in that whole thing, I really think she honestly thought something was up. I don't think she made that up at all. Just my personal view. Like I think that outburst was legit. Right. And so I'm excited to have you talk to her and see how that goes. I know you got a big crush on her.
Oh, I do. She knows it too. So that's fine though. But
well, dude, who doesn't? Look at her. She's freaking hotter than shit.
Oh, hell
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah. So anybody wants to check my stuff out, if you've not ever heard of The Wicked Planet, go and check it out. It's everywhere you can find
podcasts. You've not heard it. Where can they find you, brother?
Yeah, you can find me. I do a lot on X now, on Twitter X. You can find me there at Ron from NE, Ron from New England. And you can find me at Ron from New England and the Wicked Planet podcast on Instagram. I've kind of backed off of Instagram because Instagram is Meta, and Meta really likes to censor everything that I do. So, you know, I don't do really anything on YouTube right now. I really, you know, I just really wish I wasn't so busy sometimes, because I really want to get the visual podcast going, and I'm going to work on that. But, you know, it'll get there. It's just like anything. When the time is right, it'll happen. But The Wicked Planet is everywhere. You're going to find White Rabbit. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Amazon Music, Podbean, you name it. We're there. So go and check it out. Hit the follow button. If you like what you hear, give me a good 5-star review on Apple. Leave me a little comment that tells me if I'm doing a good job or not. And Catalyst, thank you for having me on. I always enjoy getting together with you anyways.
Likewise, brother. And you're definitely doing a good job over there. And to make it easier for you guys watching or listening, just go ahead and scroll down there to the bottom of the show notes, and you'll see those live links right there. That is going to be everything Ron from New England. Go ahead and give those a click, give him a follow, show him some love. 5-star reviews around the board. While you're giving him a 5-star review, don't forget to give me a 5-star review. That helps keep us in the algorithm so that I can keep reaching you guys. It's not always easy to do what we do, but we love what we do, and we want to bring it to you. So that's what I'm doing here. And with that being said, I'm going to end this show with our buddy Hi Rez. You know, he's over there rapping his ass off, speaking the truth. So everybody, thanks for joining, and keep digging down those rabbit holes.
I would never bend my knee to Satan. I would never sell myself for no paper. You can go ahead and call me a hater, but I'll go ahead and call you a traitor. Hey, Hollywood is getting canceled. I put God over financials. Just know that I never kill myself if they try to use me as a damn example. Hey, first Lil Nas, now Sam Smith. Satan coming for the damn kids. These rappers and singers are puppets. The second the label give them their advances, God is forgiven. We were all made in his image. That's why he told me to remix this. Every nation demoralization while we celebrating when people are sinning. Don't care if you trans. Nah, or you a man who in love with a man. But if you're gonna cover your nipples with tassels and leave the kids alone and just do OnlyFans, I just can't stand all the lies of the media pushing these kids. They ain't standing a chance. Hollywood pushes agendas with all of these artists. I swear that they industry's plans. All of these fallacies that they're preaching, I swear that there's no more objective reality. Go ahead, laugh at me. But I think that you worshiping Satan is more of a tragedy. They sold out our nation for more dough. That's why I don't watch award shows. Celebrity puppets, we're living in luxury. All of our business are forced closed. Allah Jehovah Hashem, Yahweh, you can call him whatever you do, but worshiping Satan with the purpose of angering God, well, that's just gonna make you a fool.